Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Understand the structures. Like he said, I've been around for a little while. And if I look back at my walk with God now and the fact that I've had the opportunity to be on a lot of platforms, both national, internationally, to stage stuff, I realized that the things that were said to me, and people who know me and people who have heard me speak know that I talk from a place of the intention of God to just build a relationship with man beyond the thoughts of what other human beings are ready to factor. So for me, it has always been not just a journey of intimacy with God. It moved into sonship, being able to accept responsibility to birth with God what he has in mind to birth. And from the outside, a lot of times, you're trying to decipher where the problem is and where we're missing it. And you realize that you, in the limited knowledge that you have, you would come on places like this. And because you don't have the opportunity to pastor, you would speak from where you understand. You would try to wonder, where are we missing the block? Where is it not connecting? What is there? And you will speak from your heart and what you see and from the perspective where you see. And then it would look as if, like my wife began to say at one time, what problem do you have with church? Why it looks as if almost every time you speak from an anger from the inside. And I would say, well, this and this and this is what it looks like on paper. And because my journey was an everyday boy, young man, God calls into, I want to walk with you, and begins to show you dimensions and realities that sometimes you don't have a frame of reference for and a framework for, and you are thinking, why is everybody not going where you're going or not seeing what you're seeing? And a lot of times it seems as if you're talking above people's head and they really can't understand, because the challenge I had was the fact that I was a misfit in between two worlds. I had pastor friends like him and a lot of other people who had this idea of me that you are not a pastor, so you are not permitted to be this deep. And then I was also among the motivational leading Christian speakers, I can't mention names, who would look at you and say, you're not really one of us because the things you say are too intense. And so when you are with the pastors and the men of God, you don't really fit in because you don't pastor a church. And since you don't pastor a church, the intensity of your conversation is too weighty. And sometimes it's we know that you're carrying stuff. But because you're not a pastor, we can invite you to come and speak, because at least you're not going to steal anybody. And so by the time you're with the motivational people and you're talking about the intentionality of the architecture of man, you are not exposing the idea of humanism, because you are pointing everything you are saying from scripture. And those were the seasons we began to know that the idea is for God to sit down with a man and give him an architecture, and together with him we're talking governance and we're talking dominion. And so when I found myself in the media space and began to run that media space as an opportunity and a canvas for God to do what he wants to do, and the mentality from day one was dominion, taking over the systems from God and discipling people. It wasn't a business conversation. There was a money narrative around it, but the framework was not money. So you find yourself in that place in the middle where you don't really fit into two worlds. So you go through that rejection from both sides because you don't really fit into which one of them. But this is the thing for me. The more I was looking at the issue, I think God allowed me to go through my own, for lack of a better word, season of depression and season of not really understanding who I was and tinkering with my identity. And then it took me through all that process of being betrayed, stabbed by people I felt I knew and stuff like that. And the gang up and betrayals and stabs on my back that brought me to a place of him. And alone with him, just in front of him, my class now began. And what I realized in my class was basically the fact that the things I was saying were true, but I had not been processed to be able to say them. And I realized the issue is the fact that Christians underestimate what the enemies are, because a lot of times that thing that I was seeing and that I was not able to connect the dots with is because at the end of the day, the narrative is the fact that you are dealing with enemies you are not even aware that you are dealing with. Because why? The enemy has done the master stroke of not just creating systems around you, but put a contamination inside of you that will make you see deep stuff and make you see conversations and not be able to bring you into that place where your life. So you are internally sabotaging what God wants to do without you even knowing. So let me attempt to say in my own way what Pastor Buki already said this morning. That you will be around the Lord, but you will not see the Lord. And it is not because you do not want to see the Lord. There is a system running in you and around you. And those systems are interconnecting with themselves and making sure that you can scream, you can shout, you can jump, you can do everything. You will not be with the Lord. Why? Because there is a system of flesh inside of you that has been put in there by the enemy, and that there's a supporting ideology and technology and mountains that we have given up to the enemy working together with the system inside of you. So anytime you move into places, all you do is walk into a Wi-Fi zone that amplifies what is inside of you. And you know that once you walk into a Wi-Fi zone and the OS is already in there, it does not need your permission to begin to upgrade. So there are upgrades happening inside of you that the enemy has calculated in there, that even though you have a different idea, you will never be able to have that reality of life. Why? Because the internal programming inside of you is cooperating with the systems the enemy has taken. So you are a slave to a systems that you are not giving your consent to. So that is why you can be a great king and you get to the place that you are now strong, and then you now want to do incense. It was not because he got strong that he wanted to do incense. The idea to want to do incense was already inside Uzziah. But when he got into a place where he entered into a Wi-Fi zone, now he wants to do stuff. Because the issue is this: when we fell in the garden, what was introduced was a system that by default takes God out of the equation. It was a desire for significance and for a different system that was lodged on the inside of us. So it will always fight you having God entirely. He doesn't mind you being around God as long as God is not the source and the consistency of what the thoughts that you're thinking, it's fine. So it allows us to come to church like we do, as long as this entire system is also working with systems outside to make us feel religious and that we're touching something, as long as you do not come into that place of surrender that makes God the center of the entire conversation, the enemy is very happy. And that is why, so the enemy you face on the inside is the fact that he got strong. What does he got strong mean? His flesh, his self, gave him an idea of who he was and not the Spirit of God. And that information gave him the idea that at this particular point in time in his life, he qualified to do something reserved for only people. Meanwhile, ahead of him was a David who could do both without having an issue. Why? Because David was the only one that was able to walk with the Melchizedek architecture, where you are priest and king at the same time. So I realized that the problem I was seeing when I began to speak and to have conversations like this when churches give me opportunity to minister was because I became a victim of the same thing. Because in my own darkest moments, the demons inside of me, the flesh that had been lodged inside of me, caught up with me and strangled me and literally reconfigured me. And just like every other person, my heart is to do something else, but my hands were doing something else. And the reality of the fact that I began to realize that the same process we go through is the fact that once we come into a framework with God, we are too much in a hurry looking for platforms, and we're too much in a hurry thinking that the platforms are the things that give us validation. And so staying in God and staying with presence is not the way things are supposed to form. So a man would find life in the spirit boring, and a man will find that entire in God you live, you move, you have your being boring. And then that transition from intimacy to habitation, where the weightiness of the kavod of the Father is supposed to rest inside of you, you would find that thing laborious, you will find it boring, you will find it time consuming. Why? Because the original system the enemy planted inside of you to look for significance, to look for validation, is rising up and choking that desire to just wait on him. Because why? There's no spotlight in waiting on him. There's no fame in waiting on him. And because you have gotten into a system both within and outside that seeks to validate you for you to have identity, you are always in trouble. So you will always be in trouble. Because it is a search for significance. And that is where the problem is. The golden rule says that the arm of flesh cannot please God. So if you, by 0.1%, have inside of you the desire to do something for yourself or by yourself, then there's trouble. Why? You are meant to live in and from and by the Spirit. That you live in his presence, that the journey is him and nothing else, that you seek nothing else from him. And that is why, like Pastor Buki was saying, he protects you from him. Why? Because all he hears is holiness. All he hears is righteousness. So when God takes you to a process of stripping you, he's saving you from himself. Because when you sing the song that it should come, if it shows up the way he is, you burn up. Because he cannot see anything unholy. He cannot touch anything unholy. And for you to come into that place where you are asking for his presence comes with consequences. And that's why she said she saw him and she held him. And based on the touching and the holding him, to do something outside that framework was a challenge. Why? Because when you come into that framework, what it does is that it shapes you and marks you for life. And when it does that, what you're dealing with is the fact that somebody has gone through an experience you can't take away from them. Are we on the same page? So I realized that the challenge here, and that's why, you know, so you go through that humbling experience where you now come and realize that the reason why we are around God, the reason why we gather, and the reason why we are not being transformed, the reason why we are not changing, the reason why we cannot, for lack of a better word, move into the systems and the structures of the world is that we have an internal sabotage system working both from within and outside. And because they are smarter than we are, with all due respect, they are collaborating so much with each other. It's like you're walking from one Wi-Fi zone to the other. So the enemy says, don't worry, flesh, do your own thing. When he comes outside, I'll pick him up on the other side. Because I determine the film he watches. I determine where he goes. I determine his role models. I determine what he sees as parties. You know, I determine all that. I determine his education. I determine his sense of fashion and everything. So don't worry. So you just find out that around him is his flesh and the enemy are collaborating and doing a fantastic job to make sure that you never see God the way he is. And for as long as those systems are collaborating and partnering, you will just continue to have an idea. So when people come and discuss dimensions of God with you, it won't really make sense to you. So the problem is that I feel that we do not understand, like, you know, Asha sang a song, there's fire on the mountain and Christians are not running. Yeah, because you do not understand that your flesh... And the enemy, he's so much sabotaging you
you know, God forbid you spend the rest of your life talking about you wanting to see God, and people around you are seeing God in dimensions that will literally make your head pop. I'm sitting down with meetings now. They are sharing testimonies that if they tell Christians, you would think that they are making it up. And that's how bad it is, because as far as they are concerned, God has gone on leave, doesn't have the capacity to do some things. Some testimonies fly over your head, and then we're wondering, what exactly are we doing on Sundays? So to disciple you to come into the realms of God and things like that, just literally knock your head sideways. So again, there's a system running inside of you that's making you be around God, but disturbing you for being in God, because it is that being in God that you come into glory, and that glory is what separates you from the entire systems. It is that weightiness that, you know, that makes you step into situations and bring you into governance with God, where God begins to partner with you to be able to rule things and take stuff. So it almost looks as if people are playing games around the Father, and we just come and gather around and everything. So now I'm able to say with all humility, I have an idea what the problem is. That it is not just the fact that we have a lot of, you know, ministries that are not effectively discipling people, and I have a problem with that. It's also because even the people that come to church don't really want to know God. Yeah, you really don't want to know God. You're satisfied to just come watch, you know, Pastor Benga Shafia and his team do like a nice speech for you, like a, I call it Benga Shafia Show and his people. And then you go back home on Sunday. You don't have any systems to take for God. You don't have any system to infiltrate. You know, you're not intentional about the children you're bringing into the world. You're not asking God the question, who am I? What am I doing here? Where do I partner with you? What do we need to do? We are always waiting for the enemy to create stuff, and then we're sitting down there complaining that they create stuff. You know, and it happens every year. For example, they're doing Big Brother. You know, next year, Christians will come up again and say, they're joining our children in morality. Why are you watching it? And why are you subscribing? And then when you go, when they do the analysis, 80% of people analyzing are Christians. So the problem is hydra-headed. But you are blessed to be in a community where they say things you rarely find, because we move around a bit and we talk, we share pulpits. You rarely find preachers come and talk about righteousness nowadays, or talk about holiness, or talk about, you know, God not promising you anything, but you're going on a journey. You rarely had that conversation. So if you are here, then that means you have no excuse. So what I've really come to say is that on behalf of these people, I've come to face you. I've come to face you. What are you hearing and what are you listening to? Why are you here? What is this about for you? Why do you think you're in this community? What is the assignment? What is the conversation on your life? What is changing about you? I mean, sometimes when we sit down and do spiritual mappings and we see how the enemy has eaten us over, I mean, you almost literally be crying. You know, and like he was saying, you know, in analysis, you know, the enemy, you know, the times are going. And we're right in that Noah, you know, reality. And it's going to pop any minute from now. And it's like, you have to wake people up. Are you awake? Do you know where we are? Do you know what's happening now? It's like you wake up, and the Bible says that the enemy has built an embankment around you, and all you're going to do is respond. The church is full of people who are responding, you know, who have already been, you know, taken captive. The enemy is sitting down, creating this, you know, global network of control, and all we do is wake up and like, ah. You know? It's like that thing they say when they do comedy. You wake up and you should really be saying, "Aye mi te mi bami." I'm telling you the truth, because that's exactly what the enemy has done. He's shaping what your children will look like. He's shaping what they're going to go. He's shaping how they're going to think. And we're all just sitting down a lot of times, just coming to church, having a good time, and nobody's having these conversations. And even when we have the conversations, what is the fruit? Because what you have not become, you cannot teach. It's an overflow. So it's always an issue of presence, and then the overflow of presence. You do not have the moral capacity to teach who you have not become. And so the problem here is that we're still having to counsel us, you know, and talk about marriage thing, we're still having to talk about children stuff and everything. It's because people have come from a background and have come from a process, but they refuse to be discipled and they refuse to go through a process that transforms you from who we met you to who you are becoming. And in that conversation, we are creating communities and understanding that based on what we're seeing, if we do not begin to create these communities and these connections, we are in trouble. So you need to understand that right now, globally, we Christians are the endangered species. Every other person is fine. There's a camera in my face. There's some things I can't say. Because I find myself in a space where a lot of people who are in my space are of other religions. And that's the royal space. I'm actually a Moba Dejira, but I don't mind, you know, that's the title I go by now. I'm royalty to the glory of God. And I'm a crown prince to the glory of God. And then, yeah, it just means that if you're in that line, you know, you're in that space. And then I'm titled. I've just been, not been weird yet, but I've now just been appointed Dashipa Odiolowo. So I'm in that space. The people in that space are from two other religions. And those two other religions collaborate more than we do. If we take a poll of, you know, the thrones where I come from, I won't mention the state because I'm an heir. 80% of the people who sit on thrones in my state are from those two other religions. So those of us of Christian lineage are in the vast minority. Now, what we deal with when we go there, we can't tell you. So we know there's fire on the mountain. Because when you come into that space, you have to go through all sorts. Repentance, do, you know, this and that and everything. God has to, you know, what you don't know. So be your own, you're repenting for your own, your lineage. You are repenting for communities, you are repenting for all sorts of things. You are repenting for territories, you are repenting for royal families, you are repenting for stuff because you are guilty for everything they've done. So you can imagine what it is. Not just what they've done in the cutting of heads or doing stuff or marrying people's wife or doing this or injustice or stuff like that. That's one case. They're talking about the morality there and everything. And they talk about, so it's intense. Now, when you come into that framework and God allows you to go through that, what you will be doing is looking for interconnected relationships on how to run. So the fact that we're still trying to get you Christians to connect. Yeah, let's have this conversation. Yeah. It's a problem for you to connect. It's a problem for you to unite. It's a problem for you to create your own systems. You can't do business together. You can't marry yourself without stress. You know, you guys are joking. With all due respect, and sorry, they might not bring me back, because that's why I don't teach. I just came to visit them, and they say I should stay stuff. This is the reason why I don't get invited. I don't look for information. I'm okay where I'm doing our work right now. Yeah, you said also. Yeah, so when you are in those kind of meetings, and you're also in some meetings where I get to sit down, where we're talking not just government, we're talking with a lot of oldies like me who are tired of this drama we're doing. When they give you information about some things, you almost want to puke. So the question you ask yourself is, what are we doing, and why are we still playing games? Your children are in danger, you are in danger, everybody's in danger, they're tempting anybody. Thank God that you have that. So your issue might not be sexual, your issue might be money, but the enemy dangles something around you just to get everybody, mess everybody up, and then he gives you stuff. And then we've gotten to a place where as Christians, where the bottom line is the issue for us. They will pack all the money in the world and give you so that your soul is gone. Then you stand before the Father and told him, hey, I have results. And the Father says, results here? Yeah? Are we talking results here? Or did your life align? Did you find purpose? Did you understand purpose? Did you, you know, what is your, you know, where do we frame you? What are your, you know, what are your deliverables? What are your terms of reference? So you will use 100 years, 120 years in this life, doing everything everybody has done, and then you get over there and they say, Oga, so who are you, sir? They say, I'm about the general. Okay, that's fine. So this thing that we told you to do, how far? Which thing? Ha, egba me, which thing? I was doing this, talonwen. What do you mean talonwen? Didn't you come back to ask the Father what the framework is? Ask the Father, okay. Am I supposed to ask the Father? Okay, oh, your matter has just begun. So we are surrounded by people who don't even know why we're here. Yes. We don't even know what we're doing here. Yes. Talk less of getting the training. Yes. Talk less of understanding that our job is to make disciples. Yes. I'm a man under authority. I just wanted to drop the thoughts. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Wow. Now, I think this conversation will require 2 chairs because when we get to this junction, we need to give our speakers a seat and water. Please sit so that we can look at the matter. Well, we will continue to try. All right, we'll continue to do our bit. However, you know, Daniel was thrown into a different world. He prayed through millions of Israelites. They left Babylon, but he stayed back. So I believe that I know me, I love Daniel. I love Joseph because these guys are prototypes of what it means to be within a structure and survive and change the system from within. You know, if you asked anyone about Daniel in Babylon, they will tell you he's a magician because that was the department of magic. You know, but Daniel was not a magician, but that's the name of his department. He was a prophet. And those in that department knew he was not part of them. Yeah. So they needed him out. Because everything is fine until Daniel speaks. Somebody gives the king an advice. Hey, Daniel said, no, why don't we do it this way? All of a sudden, you sound foolish because you should have just kept quiet and allowed Daniel to do his talking, you know. Thank you, sir. I think let's celebrate God's servant. Now, we don't really have time for what we have in front of us. How can we do justice to this matter? If I step into my message now, we'll be in trouble. And I've promised Pastor Tokwe this morning that from today, I'll be behaving well. So, let's see if, as I'm speaking now, you have to be praying. You know, because I made him a promise. You know, let me tell you something, because we are online now, and I am aware. You see, we are not as small as we look. Yes. Let me tell you, I am aware of not just churches, pastors, people abroad, like different countries, who have reached out to me personally. And they always tell me, they say, oh, after our service, we go back to listen to your message. I'm like, well, all those comedy we do here, I say no. In fact, there's a particular general of Asia, Towards Beggar. I've only seen him like twice. And then I saw him in a meeting, and he just said to me, say thank you. Say, I was listening to your Tuesday message. I say you're a man of God of over 20 years. He said, I have to listen. So because of that, it will not be fair of you to come all the way from Egbeda. Are you here? Or to come all the way from Redemption Camp. We used to have people coming from Otta, you know, only to come here. And then I will waste your time. It will not be, I also have an employer, you know. So I have an employer. His name is Jesus. So my goal is to please him. So which means I am obligated in love to tell you the truth. Pastor Buki started a conversation. How many of you have read after King Uzziah died? I saw you've heard it since you were kids, right? Isaiah chapter 6. Who knows why Uzziah died, apart from our pastors? Who knows why Uzziah died? $20. Don't go to ChatGPT or anything. Oh. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All right. Now, you just lost someone. It's late. It's late, Gospa. It's late. It's late. Now, did you raise your hand? Ah, sorry. When I'm preaching next Sunday, sit down here. Mabinu, the money is in my pocket, sir. Now, I asked this question deliberately. there is a bug. You know, when building apps, sometimes bugs can, you know, like the ones you see in all those adverts when they tell you to buy a particular detergent. So bugs can come up and create problems for you. What I just did now is to tell you that all those quotable quotes that you call Rema cannot save you. If truly what you received was a Rema, it will change you from within. You become enlightened. We need to go back. Go and get a New King James. Well, I don't even know if I should be recommending New King James, but go and get a Bible that speaks your language, like whether Yoruba or Hausa or whatever. And read many of the stories in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Read Judges. There are so many statements that, or even in the Old Testament, that when you just see Jesus say, as it was in the days of Noah, if you don't have a clear idea about what that day was, you will think it's a rhema. Yeah. Then you come to a conference like this and you start throwing words. Pastor Buki is the one that we are going to blame for today's service because she started. But me, I just wanted to help everybody today. But now it's like your help is coming from another direction. So she started with Uzziah, King Uzziah. So I don't know if we should. We don't have time to read it, but I'll give you the scripture in 2 Chronicles. So you write this scripture down and you go and read 2 Chronicles chapter 25 from verse 1 to the end. So I want to talk to you about what do you call those scenes before the, you know, in some movies they will show you some scenes and tell you 200 years ago before, I'm not sure, it's flashback, but there's a name. Before. Okay, so the prologues have it. But I think there's another name, but it's somewhere in my head. I can't find. Now, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, try. This man became king. I'm just giving the story, and I want you to hear me. Gospel, sorry. Kill the power or the fire in this thing. That guy became king at the age of 16. Now, for those of you who have been here long enough, my anointing is very sensitive to sound. So, and that's why I protect, especially the songs I listen to. I protect my ears. You must know what your spiritual configuration is. Is you. Look, you are getting old though. You're almost 40. We shouldn't be talking to you about your purpose again. By now, we should be comparing notes and seeing where are the gaps. They preached this thing to us for years till we became useless. Find your purpose. Till we didn't even know what to do. If they had simply told us that our reality and our identity was revealed in Christ, that would have been a good place to start. Then people started looking for what they could do. No! Purpose does not start with what you can do. It starts with who you are in Christ. Please remind me if I forget. There is a raging controversy. There's an error going on in the Christian body now. There is a body that has risen. They've been there for a while. They are known as New Thought. New Thought. Are you familiar? Who is familiar with New Thought? Ah, okay. I'll be doing this research for you. I'll be bringing it. There's another more dangerous one now. It's called Christ Consciousness. They are very evil. Christ Consciousness. When you hear Christ Consciousness, you are tempted to think it's Christ. No. So, remind me in case I forget. Will we address it maybe after prophetic school? Uzziah became king at 16. And he mirrors the picture of someone that God started with early. Like many of us. Like some of you. Jesus started with you. You started having dreams, visions, God started working with you. And he helped you. This scripture, Pastor Brad, you know that your favorite scripture is in this second, is here. So I'll read that one for them before they go. Anytime I read that verse, I always think of you. You know the scripture I'm talking about? I'll read it. So just get that 2 Chronicles 25 ready. But I'll tell you when to project. So he became a king at the age of 16. People celebrated. It seemed like God was, the nation was going to finally have a good deal. And he started doing very well. This Uzziah, he started doing very well. People, the Lord was happy with him. He started building systems to protect the borders of the nation, the territories of the nation. And let me tell you, if you find that I become the president of Nigeria tomorrow, just by chance, because the way the whole thing is happening now, you may just find me floating a party very soon. And I will suddenly become president without election. Don't say amen. I'm just making an analogy. I won't be president. It's too much wahala. So I'm just saying, for instance, you should know by now, you should know when I'm joking. Don't say amen to, don't say a confederacy to what the Lord has not said the confederacy to. I'm just trying to give an example. When a person becomes a king, or you become a person of influence, you are suddenly made CEO of your company, the Lord begins to help you in a very special way. The first thing you need is not to make a speech, is to raise priesthood. Priesthood, please. Now you are hearing me, but you are not writing, because you won't listen to this message again. I said, when God puts you in a position of influence, the first thing you need to do is not to make a speech appreciating everybody. The first thing you need to do is to prepare the ground for priesthood. Why? Let's take King Saul for instance. King Saul was a very good king. Huh? Let's not take away the fact that he had his issues. Saul was a very good guy. Saul is the kind of president you would call chop by chop. Saul is not against you enjoying, but let everybody enjoy, you know. So Saul was not like, he wasn't bad. The only problem Saul had was that he had no covenant with God. You understand? But he was a good guy. Saul is the kind of leader you will say, well, he's trying. He has built a bridge. We have light. Some are even band A. Some are band A plus. You can point to the good things he is doing. He's not a bad guy. Except that God is angry at him. Saul had no priest in his life. He was not committed to the priesthood. The moment he made a mistake and fell, he was abandoned. Some of you, it's not that you are praying, but you have a prayerful mother. Your mother represents the priesthood in your life. Even though they don't know all the Bible verses, you know. You quote Greek and Hebrew. You don't even speak English anymore. But she prays for you. Some of you is your dad. Some of you, you have a sister that is very prayerful. She may not even be doing well financially, but she's always praying for you. So that represents priesthood. Flip over to David. David did more terrible things than Saul. But when he fell, there was a structure on ground that was initiated to facilitate his restoration. That is what priesthood is about. That's what priesthood. So if the Lord is blessing you, one of the things you need to be thinking about is, what systems can I put in place that represents priesthood in my life? That means you are going to give people permission to be honest with you. You will give people permission to speak. Say, this thing, that thing you said when you were preaching, I think you need to correct it. It's not completely right. You need to allow people have some measure of authority in your space. That's why I'm very concerned in this generation. If you are getting married as a Christian and the brother you are getting married to has no one he fears. He has no one he fears. Say, I fear only God. don't marry him. Anyone that fears only God should not be married. And any lady that you try to question, I say, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. I make my own money. Yes, you are married. No. Let's talk about it now before I'm married. And she starts throwing her hands like this. So, she can be your girlfriend, but she can't be your wife. You will not appreciate what I'm saying until the wahala starts. And it will be pro-max. Don't say she will change. She will not. Don't say that, brother, I'm praying for him, he will change. You are not the Holy Spirit. If the brother does not commit to priesthood, allowing God intervene in whatever decision he's making, that brother is a very dangerous person. That's number two. I'm saying this because of our brother. He became king at 16. You may just read Isaiah 6:1 and you may become angry at Pastor Buki, because for you, why is Pastor Buki using someone's death to describe someone's encounter? It can be very painful and annoying and irritating, actually. Like in the year King Uzziah, and it doesn't mean that it was Uzziah's death that made God appear. It was just that it was the year Uzziah died. You may you understand? You say she's saying it as though God did not appear until the man died. That we need to be respectful of the dead. However, let us look at the man. He became king at 16. He did very well. Very well. Until. So let me read Pastor Barra's favorite scripture. Oh, glory to God. Now, let's read. Where is that? And he was marvelously helped. 26. Second Chronicles chapter 26. Let's read verse 15. And I hope someone... See, let me tell you. Forget about the comedy I do for you here. Please, you need to hear my heart on these issues. Because God, the Spirit of God said, God is still searching for men. He's looking for people that he can use. And please consider what I said about Noah's, the generation of Noah. Only 8 were saved. And Jesus told us, say the day of the Son of God, of Son of Man, will be like that. Which means a lot of people will claim to be Christians, but Jesus will say, I never knew you. So this is something that we need to be very careful. It's not me now. I'm just a messenger. Don't hate me. You will need to install government over your life. You will need to look at those who succeeded in scripture. How did they succeed? Copy and paste. Trying to be woke, it's not bad, but it could be your undoing. Let's look at that scripture. And he made in Jerusalem. Now, when you read the whole chapter from verse 1, you will see some of his achievement. He made in Jerusalem engines. This guy was very innovative. He was very creative. He started building engines. This was something they didn't even see in the days of David. He was a tech bro, you know. It's the way some of us in this church are in the tech space. Innovations. Invented by cunning men. To be on the towers and on the bulwarks. To shoot arrows. So he built a system that allowed Israel able to defeat their enemies without coming close to them. If there were some armies coming towards them from the top, he invented some very powerful systems. They shoot arrows. Before you get to them, you are dead. That was very innovative. To shoot arrows and great stones with all. And his name did what? He spread far abroad. For he was what? He was what? Marvelously helped till Oh, you see this this lower part of this, the later part of this verse, is a prayer point I love. Because I realize that for you to be anything in this life, you have to be helped. Yeah. You may be a Moses, and you will remain at the backside of the desert forever, unless you are helped. You may be gifted or anointed, and you may not. Have you ever been in a conference room where somebody was being celebrated, and when the person just came up, he wasn't saying anything that was tangible, but they said he's the one to be celebrated, and like everybody was clapping. Well, they say we should clap. We are clapping. Like, I can do better than this guy in 5 minutes. If I was in a meeting with Pastor Iya Adeboye, God's servant, and they asked us to preach, I will appreciate him, but I will preach. By the time I'm done, Baba may come up and say, oh, I'm so blessed by my son. Oh, wow. And just encourage me and pray. He may even pray for me. And then say, everybody, just ask one thing from the Lord. Baba will go and sit down. Baba did not preach. When they are giving honorarium, give Baba 1 billion. Don't ask me what they will give me, because I'm just telling you that. You see that thing that person keeps doing to you and you think it's just by chance. People relate with you the way they perceive you. So if you perceive insult, you have to redefine the stakes. Redefine it. Stop saying, you can't insult me. No. You withdraw the privilege of the person. Then have a conversation. So this guy was marvelously helped by God. The nations around him started to observe him, that this was a man that God was helping. They knew that this guy was a young king. He had grown through the ranks. That means as at the time, we have some of our young folks here who are just between the age range of 14 and 16. Imagine in a nation where all of us adults are like this, and a 16-year-old boy trying to pass jamb was appointed as our king. And the boy grew through the ranks and was doing extremely well until the nations began to notice him, that there is somebody, there is someone, there's a lady, there's a brother, that God is doing something great with. This boy is unique. Please give me verse 16. Let's look at the life of this brother, because it was Pastor Buki that started the conversation. He said, but when he became strong, come on, look at this now. Are you here? He said, but when he became strong, his heart was what? Lifted up to what? To what? He became very proud. When you look around you and you can't find anybody who has done what you have done. You may walk into a meeting and everybody there may be better than you. But when you go into that same meeting, you are coming out with 8-9 figures. They will go there and be shouting, we can do it. We did it for this company. You just come there and say, well, this is what we do. You just, it's as though you have something on your tongue. When you talk, they will be signing 10, 11 digits. And you are not even better than the people seated. You just look around you and realize that, and this was the undoing of many of my friends who are pastors. They didn't have to struggle to get to where they were. So they felt it was a sign of approval that they were better. And then the system started to rot from within. Let me tell you, I tell pastors when I have conversations with them, if you get to the point where you find that you have become very comfortable, you see that headquarter church, hand it over. Go and start afresh in another location. Go out in the morning on Saturday and do evangelism with the people in that community so that your own heart can be saved. So that you will not think that your achievement has anything to do with you. That man was marvelously helped because he followed God. But suddenly, he became what? Give me that scripture. He became what? When he became strong, so he now knew he was no longer weak. He was no longer the 16-year-old that people were trying to encourage and help. Don't worry, this is your business to pick up. Don't worry, just be walking. Don't worry, keep your head under, be humble. He was no longer the person you could cancel. Because now his results are showing. When you see Uzziah walking to a meeting, this is a king. You'll be saying, that's my king. That's my king. Some of you will even change your name and put it on Facebook and say, "That's you leave your father's name, adopt another man's name, and say, that's your son's name." His heart was lifted up to his destruction. So it means that it is extremely possible for me to rise in a particular state that even God now concludes this one will be destroyed. That means there are progressions in pride. And there is a level I can get to. Even God and Satan, we agree. He has gotten there. He has gotten there. He has gotten there. The day Satan and God agree on a matter, you know, that's a very serious thing. Say this one, he has met the threshold. There's a threshold for destruction. And a man we picked up as a boy and trained. Excuse me. Do you know this man lived up to like his 50s or thereabout? 52. Let's assume that he started becoming proud at 45. But he became king at 16. 45 from 16. 45 from 16. If someone worked with the Lord for 30 years and has result to show, would you think such a person is not smart enough to know the do's and don't? But his heart still rose. His heart still what? He still rose. Which means longevity. I've been serving God. I've been born again for 50 years. It's not a guarantee. Satan spent eternity with God. Lucifer spent eternity with God and still decided to plan a coup. That the moment my heart is not textured in such a way that I keep reminding myself that I am nothing and he is everything. We have a man of God for the season. He's an apostle to all nations. Somebody invited my pastor to a meeting, and in order to steer the hearts of men to receive his ministry, he said he's a man of great unction. He has raised the dead in several meetings. Pastor was looking at him like, maybe is there another man of God here that maybe is sitting at the back? So he's a pastor, prophet, master, senior prophet. Ayo Jeje. The moment he got up, the pastor just, you know, when pastors go, we always talk to each other here. You know, that's what pastors do. And the question is, sorry, what do you people normally talk about before handing over the mic that you didn't say over there? Say, I just told them that to steer their faith. The pastor was lying on the pulpit. So, pastor, you had to like let us return all the glory to the Lord. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. He is the most high. He used 30 minutes to correct the error. Before God now comes after him and says, They told you you are the apostle and you accepted. They said you raised the dead. Have you raised a dead man before? You liar. You have made the criteria for destruction. These things can be very subtle. They can happen almost spontaneously. There's what we call atmospheric pressure. You just find yourself even saying things that are not real because you want to sound spiritual. This brother had worked with God for close to 30 years or more, and he entered into a state that God said was qualified for destruction, and he could not be helped. So what could he have done that became so bad? Because I think God is a merciful God. I think that God will not just labor over you and then leave you alone. Is it possible that God was even trying to reach out to him? And the information was, the email was bouncing back. Is it possible? Let's look at the next verse. Pastor Buki, you are the one that caused this problem. Now, look at the, please go back to, let's look at the last line of the previous verse. The scripture said, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against what? Against what? Now, normally when you see the scriptures pointing to people transgressing like this, do you normally see things like he transgressed against the law of God? In the King James, you will see things like he went against the law of his God. This scripture did not say that. The scripture said he transgressed against the Lord himself. Are you familiar with what I'm saying? If you read certain parts of the Old Testament, you will see things like he transgressed the law of his God, which means he broke a particular law or rule. In this brother's case, he transgressed against what? Now, last Sunday, we did a study here on the difference between sin, iniquity. Now, do you have your notes? What do we refer to as transgression? Having no accountability structure, rebellion, open deviance against the law of God, arrogance. So let's stay there. So put up the scripture again. Let's look at the word transgression. He transgressed, he rebelled, he knew what he was doing, and he chose to do it. He suddenly looked around him and felt that he could put his hands into the church offering. After all, he's the senior pastor. Amen. Glory to God. The laborer must be the first partaker. Pastor David Alimara Husita. How much do we have there? Yeah, this is for. As you are going now, you stop at the market. Buy Bokoto and everything the man of God we need for this afternoon. And you are seeing that church. You have not run. Eh? Yeah, run, no. Because all of a sudden, you have been lifted by God to the point that nobody can correct you. Who could correct Samson? Can you go into enemy territory and lift the gate and come back alive? We don't play here. We know where God has led us. We know where God has helped us. When we speak, we are speaking about the things we have seen, we have heard, that we have handled. What are you talking about? You see, let me tell you, I'm not just a man of God. I live in God's presence. Don't play with me here. You may be a preacher. I am a man from God. Glory. When I tell you to send me your tithe, I'm not joking. It's an instruction. Once I talk to you, God has spoken. That's how they look down on Jesus until they killed him. Listen, you can't kill me. I know why they killed my master. I have put all the systems in place. You cannot kill me. Before I pray for you, you sow a seed. The scripture says, he that receiveth a prophet. You know, come, sow your seed. Sow your seed. He doesn't attend prayer meetings. He doesn't come for praise worship. He doesn't do it. So it's just when it's time, he just mash out. He will not quote Bible. How did we get to the point where the tithe is now being paid into pastor's personal account? How did we get there? If not for lack of... And don't tell me he doesn't know. It's open rebellion. After all, in the Bible days, they were not registering churches. But we are registering now. Harvest Word. If we must be the church that Jesus is proud of, I will be accountable to you, and you must be accountable to me. This is not a private venture. That's why you see me on Monday, I'm on the street hustling. Me, first son, I don't want my soul to deviate from the Lord. I'm trying to reduce my expectation from Coke to water, from Fanta to water, so that I am not upset if that is what you give me. This brother openly violated the law of God.
Which means all of a sudden, he knew the areas he could tweak. He knew the areas he could touch. That he feels, okay, this one is small. Where are the, like the sons of Eli? It does come with a big fork. Hey, move back. Is this what they brought? Yeah. Where is Kemi? You did not, you want, after you go and put me on Instagram now, I'll be doing what I'm not supposed to do. Now, I'm doing drama for you. You know? I should have come to this service with a big fork and dressed in a priestly so that you can see what our brothers did. This while their father Samuel Shabalade seeking God, seeking God. Bami Bokin, you will remove the gown. So that fire will not touch. And that fork is going, there's something he has seen in that pot. You know, the same way you also check when you want to pick something, you want to pick Abina, is that how you are doing it? After all, you gave your wife the money. Eh? If you wanted to eat, just pick it. Haven't you picked a piece of meat while your wife went to the room? It was your money, fried meat. If that is a sin, then I'm going to hell because stolen is very sweet. Stolen water. That one they give you your food will never be. You see that one that just. My brother, if you are married and you are paying, tell your wife, there's something, I saw something, when she goes, take two, it's your money. Because next month, you are paying school fees. Eat now, for the journey is far. I tell you, my brethren, the journey is far. Sesu. Yele. This is a command from the Lord. When you are just say like you saw rat or something, just tell her something. Let her go and check. Like, did you leave the window in the room? It's like it's raining, you know. She will go there. Just you have to be very fast. As she say, hey, so she said, what are you doing? I surrender. Put up that scripture. If you are not wise now, you will not, the patient dog may not have any bone to eat. Look at the brother. He went into the temple and assumed the role of priest. He was anointed. This was the same thing. History always. This was what happened to Saul. This was what happened to King Saul. You see, there are some areas you touch, God will turn his back. Let me tell you, if you attend a church where the pastor was not called, because many pastors were not called by God, they found them, they just became busy and started something. If your pastor was not called, God did not summon him, and that is church. Huh? My brother, you have no record for church attendance. I have to be honest with you. If God doesn't know the priest, he doesn't know the people. You may be sincere and be shouting Emmanuel. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you see your pastor tomorrow, whoever he is, tomorrow, when you see your pastor, who is your pastor? When you see him tomorrow, ask him, are you still working with the Lord? Don't put us in trouble. Are you working? Pastor, are you going through any challenge? Are you depressed? Are you sick? Do you need time out? Because if that man gets on the other side and begins to offer incense that the Lord is... Listen, that... You know, in CAC, we delist companies. Meanwhile, the MD can still be going around and say, I'm the MD CEO of X-Rated International. Meanwhile, in CAC, no more certificate. This brother was anointed with oil. He was anointed with oil. That means he was an anointed man of God. He was a king. But he failed to understand the limitations to his anointing. It's the same thing when a lot of people who operate by the spirit of prophecy wake up one morning and they're always doing Instagram live, trying to prophesy to people. And they think they are prophets because they can prophesy. There's a difference between the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the ministry of the prophet. When we come from prophetic school, we look at that. And just because you have a word doesn't mean God wants you to share it. Some people give prophecies to people above their pay grade. Huh? If you must prophesy to a Samuel, at least try to be close to his level. Look at our brother here. He went into the temple of the Lord, stood in the office of the priest.
We bow down. We cry.
Ah. Then they called the chief priest. Like, there's somebody inside there. They met the king. Oba. They met the king. Because the king was anointed by God to stand between government, the business space, and the nation. The nature of that job may not require him to be offering incense. Huh? The language of people in that Kedah may not be to bamboozle you with their tongues. They may be deeper than you. But because of their designation, if I ask many of you now, because of your bias, can you walk into a meeting where there are Muslims, Christians, other religions, Buddhists, whatever, say they are doing interfaith? You can't sit there because you are already biased. And it's okay. Because if I sit there too, except you want me to lead prayer and we are praying for 1 hour, I don't know what we want to be discussing. But there are some people, God has built them in such a way, they can sit with those type of people. They can sit with those type of people and they will not be stained. Our brother started burning incense. The senior pastor now came. Ah, king. Ah, please, ah, don't let it look like I'm the one talking. Go to the next verse. When Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with how many priests? 80. 80. Do you know? Do you know? This is an abomination. Everybody was called back from the field. So there's an abomination in the land. They came in. You see a full church standing. Full church of priests. Ha. These men were not just priests. They were valiant men. Which means they were skilled enough to remove you. They won't just tell you repent. They will remove you. You'll be suspended. They came in and saw the king. Unfortunately, it is the king. The scripture also teaches us and says, the king does not bear the sword in vain. You may be right, but he will cut your head. That's why when Elijah was ministering to the Lord against the 400 prophets, he only called on fire. But when Jezebel wrote a letter, my dear Elijah, I have been so patient with you. You have continuously infuriated and angered me. I have nothing else to say, but by this time tomorrow, I swear. She will put that thing on the paper, so she will know that you will not alone. If you are still alive, I'm not here to do Holy Ghost fire and this thing. Me, I'm just telling you, if by tomorrow, whatever you believe in, call on him. But if by tomorrow you are still alive, it's not Jezebel. That one, is it prayer? No, you run. This one is not, yeah, call your God now. Yeah, call him. Call him. Maybe he has gone far. This one is not doing that one with you. When a woman threatens you, run to the church. For your own good. They were valiant men. 80 priests standing there. Next verse, quickly. And they withstood Uzzah. They did like this. Ah, a war. Ah, no. No. What do you call a war in Igbo language? Where are my Igbo people? Anu. 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 Aru. Hey, what do we call in Hausa? What do we call abomination? Ah, she don't know that one. Please, if you have another language here, eh? Is it Tufiakwa? So, okay, so we go with Aru, right? Hey, but that Aru doesn't have the bite too. I'm sure there's something else should go with that Aru to make it, you know, whatever. But just remember the one in your language. They withstood. This is what it means. 80 men did like this. Ah, king. No, sir. You can't do this. This will bring a curse on the land. This is not your jurisdiction. We knew you as a pastor. When did you become an apostle? What did Kilele? Ah! They tried to. No. Ah, we can still redeem you. We need to start praying. Look at what they said to him. It appertaineth not unto thee. Give me another version. Oh. It is not for you to burn. Oh. Look, at this portion, there's no need to put king in his name. Otite, you are already in trouble. If not from us, from God. It is not for you. You have gone beyond the limit of your divine authority. And these are things you must know. If you want to walk with God, know your level spiritually. Listen, when you constitute yourself to a spiritual nuisance and you go on Facebook with your camera to correct the error of all the fathers of faith, no problem. It's your data. But I hope you know you are once on the other side, where you are raising money, and you are selling. You could raise money out of a dead man. You could collect money from a dead man. You know yourself. I hope you know that repentance sometimes may not be enough. You will need restitution. All those people you stole from, did you return the money? Should be humble. That if someone as gifted as you could fall that low, then you should temper justice with mercy, knowing that it was mercy you also found. They say it is not for you, O Kingo. Know your level. It is not for you, O King, to stand before God and burn incense. Only one man had that privilege to be a priest like that. It was David. Give me that scripture. Look at message. Okay. It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are set apart. Consecrated to burn incense. Now withdraw from the sanctuary. There was a time some boys like that were misbehaving and God struck them. Huh? God struck them for offering what? Strange fire. So what they were doing was trying to save the king. Go out first. First of all, he said, withdraw from the sanctuary, for you have transgressed. And that will not be to your credit and honor before the Lord. Next verse. You know what we are reading now is the before sins of Isaiah 6:1. Because somebody was angry that why are we always using Uzziah for bad things? This is it. And let me tell you, whatever you do with your life will either be a testimony or a warning for others. Uzziah became angry. He was enraged. This was the boy whose ministry was supported by the priesthood. When he became king, your kingship in Israel is not validated if the priests are not behind you. Are you with me? The priests must be there to say, this is what the Lord has decided. This is the king. And we have anointed him. Which was why there was this issue. You find so many of these stories in the Bible. When they took a king, ran away as a baby. They ran away somewhere. Then they brought him back. And the priest stood with the boy. That was why the woman had to flee. Because now, wherever the priest stands, that's where the nation is standing. So if God has made you a priest, or a father to Pharaoh. Do you know the power of that level of influence? That level of influence. He became angry and he still had the censer in his hand to burn incense. Who are you? Since you people have been doing it, we have not seen God here. It is my job to bring reformation. Shakabadaya Sutiya Alakaba. While he was angry with the priest, the Spirit of God broke out upon him. Leprosy. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. You know what this head represents? It represents authority. This is the seat of power. Which means, Oga, from today, even if you keep this crown, you are no more the king. Atiko, they have rejected you. You are no more among the living. Put up that scripture, please. He broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense. Now, the law of Moses is very clear. Once you have leprosy, you can't even enter the presence of God. So they need to escort you out. He should have listened the moment they told him. It's just like some of us are saying, what will he do? What will he do? What will he do? And we are suffering now. Next verse. And as Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, behold, he was leprous on his forehead. So they forced him out of there. And he also made haste to get out because the Lord had smitten him. Next verse. This is a beautiful story. You really just want to sit down with some of these stories and read. You will see the real character of God. And King Uzziah was a leper to what? The day of his death. And being a leper, he dwelt in a separate house, for he was excluded from the Lord's house. And Jotham, his son, took charge of the king's household, ruling the people of the land. Then Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. So the moment, now look at this. The moment that man did what he did, God punished him, but God also walked away. Did you hear what I said? God punished him personally. But you see, from the nation, God also walked away. Because the question now arises, where were you? What were you doing? How come the king was able to walk into that place, do what he did? It means there was failure on the part of the priest. So in order not to touch the priest, God walked away. Waiting for Isaiah. The year the man died, that was the fulfillment of God's judgment. Then Isaiah had a vision. Do you know that visions can mark the beginning of a new season in a person's life, in the life of a nation? Yeah. Yeah. We need priesthood. Yeah. See, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. So the last time was the Lord left. Now he saw the Lord. Coincidentally, Pastor Buki, he was trying to come into the temple. Are you with me? You didn't see that? He was marching back into the temple that he walked away from. Ha! You are the one who thinks everything is disjointed. It's not. You're running. You can't remember. That Isaiah 6:1. This is the background, backstory. Listen. You must sit down with yourself today and identify those areas that you must not touch. Let me tell you, when this church was going to start, in the vision that the Lord has shown to me, and you know, the Lord actually showed me, I saw myself in that vision casually dressed, and I was the pastor of the church, casually dressed. Not, you know, rough like that, but just casual dress. Maybe something like this. So I picked a few things from that vision. And one of it is that the Lord was laying upon my that don't dress to the point. Don't be so dressed to the point where you cannot relate with certain type of people. You must find the middle ground where you can relate to the influential and relate to those that are below. So that is it. It's my own doctrine. That doesn't mean you should not wear whatever you want to wear. But for me, I must be neutral enough to be able to relate with any type of person. You must know those undoable things. Those things that are not given to you. Because now, for the Lord to even restore his glory back to the temple, he needed to purify the priesthood, representative of who? Isaiah. You know what it means for years for you to be praying, going to church, and you know in your heart of heart that God is not here. I've met unbelievers who said to me, say, we are not born again, but when we go to a church and God is not there, say, we know. An unbeliever, not to even talk of a Christian. Why? Because when they go there, they see themselves. Yeah, this is our vibe now. This is our regular vibe. These undoable things can include trying to make the church look like the world, so that those that are in the world can come to church, and then the church can become the world. That's not our assignment. Our assignment is to shine so bright that those that are in the world will see that there is something that God is doing here and they want to identify with it. If someone tells you today, I am a Christian, don't be too excited to say, you may want to ask the person, what exactly is a Christian? Because that word now is a very loose term. And it has so many definitions. Uzziah died because he transgressed. The transgression was that he knew what he did was not his job to do. But like Saul, his father in the Lord, he chose to do something and he felt like he could get away with it. There is a level of prosperity that brings pride. There is a level of attainment in life. All of a sudden, you feel no one can talk to you. Listen to me. Kingdoms have risen in this earth. Kingdoms have fallen. Alexander the Great built Egypt. He never thought that the day will come that he would die. He never thought that the day will come that his achievement will become mere history. Do you go to bed thinking of Alexandria? No. Okay. Except for the name. Except you study history. And so what? Who is Alexandria? He said this one is queen of Sheba. It doesn't mean anything. But many of us have been taught to live for the world and achieve a name that God has not given us. And then at the end of the day, when you stand before God, you realize all everything you lived for was for nothing. Have you ever gone to any conference, have you ever gone to any conference where they invited a humble man of God to come and teach amongst them? If you are not popular, you can't hold the mic. You are still coming up. If you're a missionary, we can't give you mic now. For what? Come and break our heart and tell us that we are not winning souls. Stay there. We'll give the mic to someone that ginger the pastors and ginger us and we'll feel good. So if we do that among ourselves, what do we do in the church? All of a sudden, I can no longer address some people because they will be offended. But is it really about me? Is it not really about your destiny? I told somebody, this thing you are about to do is not what the Lord will have you do. You are a man of God. Stop playing to the gallery. Take a stand for Jesus. He became angry. The brother became angry. Turned himself to a caricature. Started doing whatever it is he was doing. He needed to make a decision now. And all the men of God in his life started calling me. I said, I'm sorry. 3 years ago, if you were living in disobedience, out of sentiment for whatever it is we use, I could show up. I say, right now, I don't even have enough space to sit down and approve on righteousness with my presence. I say, if you people feel like helping him, I say, but before you go, let me tell you what will befall him since you are all here. I say, it shall come to pass. And I say, this thing he has done, this one, this is what the Lord is saying. This one. I say, the day it crashes, all of you in this picture will be summoned. I said, and I'm telling you that this your sentiment, this your sentimentality, this your desire to always not want to offend people will be your undoing, because this man, you know, is not living right. He's not living right. They asked a pastor, why are you living in sin? He said, there is a grace that we do not know. He said, there is a grace that is given to men of God, specially, that we do not know. I say, my God, I need to research. They asked another man of God. He said, there is a place in the scripture where Paul taught us that it was okay for a Christian to lie with a woman and it will not be sin. He said, sir, please, can you give up? He said, I will not tell you. He said, I don't want you to live in sin. Yes, sir, but you are not married though. I just remember you are not married and you are almost 50. Sir, is it what you are also? That is why you can go to a church and for a whole year, you will not hear the message of salvation, righteousness, holiness. You may even become a better businessman coming to church than being a candidate for heaven. Listen, if the standard of God is always sure and God's character is consistent across scripture, I want you to consider the story of Uzziah. Today you now know why the man died and how that the death of Uzziah was the beginning of God's entrance back into the temple. So God left the temple of a whole nation because of a man. Are you not thinking that your activity can take God out of your family bloodline for generations? You are not thinking that you sleep with your cousin or sleep with your nephew or whatever, that thing can put a curse in your bloodline that simply asking for forgiveness will not fix. What that man did was not just a dishonor to the nation. It's like sitting in front of God and pouring feces on his altar. That's what he was doing. This thing he did, even if you went to Amadioa, Amadioa will not spare you. This thing that he did, if you go to Amadioa, Amadioa will not. When I went for a crusade, I told you guys that story. Let me round up here. I went for a crusade in a particular village. The name of the village is Shimeri, Orisha Meri. So they shortened it and call it Shimeri. It's in Akoko land. My president, who didn't like me then, felt that I was the best man for the job. So they kept organizing. Last me just told me, say, you'll be preaching. Maybe when we are in church, where all of us are Christians, you do not allow me to preach. Now, we got to Orisha Meri. Orisha Meri means the city bound by four gods. Me, that my father is already dead. My father is already dead, and I'm the last child. All these rural, rugged things that we are doing, just be exposing people's children. I did not know. I thought the name was just a name. You know those villages, they don't name their villages anyhow. You are the one that saw a person online say, my son will call Stone. You call your son Stone. Say, what's in a name? Call your son White Forest. Wood what? Because what's in a name? It's just identification. According to you. The gods of the land came after us. When I picked up the mic, Father, in the name of Jesus, somebody shout earlier. The light just went off. Started raining. So now, your charismatic skills, your ability to coordinate and keep the crowd must now come in. This one is not spiritual. That will say, amen, amen. Let's celebrate. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Wait, generator, say it's not starting again. No, it's not. Generator is not starting again. I'm telling you, you would think that this was a dream. I was a preacher. If I thought about the fact that my father was dead, I would not come there. I was say, let's sing a song, choir, give up in the rain. Shimmering. That's where he talks. Shimmering. Sorry, she said, no, it's Odisha Mary. Ah, Odisha Mary. Ah, ah. Hey, Odisha Mary. Odisha Mary. Hey. I was looking for everybody. My president was lost inside the crowd. Hey. Then nobody even came to the altar to say, man of God, don't worry, we are working. They just left me there. Hey. Oh. Oh. That's why some of us don't like preaching in other places. Because once there is something like that, the pastors will stand up, they move in. Ah. My brother, hey, I was afraid. It was thick darkness. The rain was falling. And me, I don't, you know, some of us were born with soft life. I'm under the rain. Ah, oh God, this one is malaria again. Hey, ni baba. It's not working. It's not starting again. We need oil. Where will you get oil here? In those days, we just go by faith. Say we want to go and do crusade in the village. No oil, no fuel, no nothing. Bottom line, I started preaching like that. There's nothing to preach again. It's raining. We are all here. And all the villagers stood and were just watching me like this. Like I'm you could see the piercing. They stood though, they didn't sit. They were just so these ones are used to this type of environment. You are the one that came from the city. They came. And they put their children in front. The adults stood at the back. That was the day I knew that you don't know how to speak in tongues, you are a dead man. So I was asking the Lord, what do we do? Eh? If you say you hear God, the real test is, can you hear God in a season of crisis? Not that, as I was praying, God told me. Some people always hear God for other people. They never hear God for themselves. Hear me. The real test of hearing God is when all your arms are down and God is able to still communicate with you. Uh-huh. You can talk about that one. I said, Lord, what do we do? We have been singing. This rain is, I know those rains that they pour. It's not shower, they pour. The Lord just told me, say there's a person here. Call out this case and bring him out now. Say he's the key to the city. Here? Yeah? I said there's somebody here. The Holy Spirit told me everywhere was quiet. I said, God, this is not good though. I would have just preached my John 3:16. If you like, burn. If you like, don't burn. Now I'm going. All of a sudden from the back, a young man started walking out. I said, are you the one? He says, yes. I said, yes, hallelujah. I said, you are the key. The Lord told me, say, give an altar call now. I said, all of you, you won't give. They rushed out. As they were saying the Lord's Prayer, the light came on. Hey, Omo. As I lead that car like this, I call my prayer and say, call your mic. But if you really saw what was in my mind, we were dawa bogey looking. You just left me here to become creative all of a sudden. Ah, you come on here, you support me. They just left me. They said, the witches are around. They are behind the children. They left. Let him die. Better for one to die than for the whole nation to be destroyed. I don't know where that brother is today, but I will never forget that story. Listen, your obedience or your disobedience is not only known to you, it's known in the spiritual realm, it's known to Satan. That's your compromise. Satan knows it. That thing you keep saying, when you marry, you will stop. Satan is aware. And you will never stop. That thing you are doing, God also sees it. Which is why they will challenge you and say, Paul will know. The demon did not need to have met them before. All he needed to do was just look at them. Kalima, Kabra, come on. Radio L.
connected. Give me the file of these three boys. Why they were binding him? No walk with God. No relationship. They don't go to church. They are not pastor. They are not. They have no prayer life. They are living in sin. All right. Paul, I know. You see, the first thing the demon said was to address them. He said, Paul, I know. He said, Jesus, I know. He said, but you, I checked your file, no record. Oh. Don't live for the praise of men. Live to be known in heaven. You can change your life by making a decision today, never to compromise again. Rise on your feet, let's pray. Listen, today is a day of great help. There is nothing that is going on in your life today that is above the power of a major decision. If you decide today to look, forget about whoever is sinning around you, settle with yourself and do a review. There's something about you that can be better. There's something about you that can be better. Listen, there is power in the house today to rise above limitations and restrictions. There is power available. Not so that we will not make the error, the same error of Uzziah. Uzziah felt he was above the law. But God eventually told everybody that there's none of you. None of you is above the law. If I keep quiet, it's because I'm waiting for repentance. This is the day of the remnant. I want you to ask the Lord for mercy this morning and ask for grace. 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 Oh, none of us will commit the error of Uzziah. I want you to lift up your voice and pray. 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 Very quickly before we go home. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Kale maraba sotalia nikasai. Shada labakala kosota. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Sometimes the error in the lives of many of us is not in what we are doing wrong. It's in the right that we are not doing. Let me repeat. The error for many of us is not in the sin that we are not committing sin. But there are certain things that the Lord has clearly stated that we are not doing. And you don't need to go too far. Let me give you a few. So winning. Do you know that we will all get to heaven by grace, but our reward will be by works? Instead of praying, God, reveal my ministry. God, this year I must launch my ministry. Don't launch any ministry. Those of us that started ministry want to run out, so don't worry. When we run, we'll give you the key. There are some areas that even the pastor is not exempted. Huh? When you suddenly meet my sister for the first time, are you thinking this is an opportunity for the gospel? Or are you thinking that this is another girlfriend you are about to make? What comes to your mind first is a reflection of the decay or the level of righteousness. Listen to me. No matter how busy you are, wherever God has put you is an opportunity for the gospel. It is our Christian duty. It's our Christian duty to share the gospel with. Even if they say they are going to church, it doesn't matter. Most people in church are not born again. Yes, if they were born again, they wouldn't be in church. So it may not be that you are committing sin, but it may be that there are certain righteous things that the Lord expects and you are not doing. The Lord might tell you, pray for this pastor. That's the only assignment I give you. But you start praying for the pastor, then you start praying for your aged mother. Pray. Look, God knows what he asked you to do. Stay on your knees. Simple as ABC. That is where your reward. There is no reward for what God did not ask you to do.
You may even succeed at it. But if the Lord told you to be here, for instance, and you went to the next door, no reward. If you are given an appointment letter, report at the Ministry of Works. You now came to the Ministry of Works. Some of these are ministries. You will see several ministries in the same building, in the same compound. You now leave Ministry of Works. You went to Ministry of Health because one of your friends is there. You started gisting. You resume 30 days. You are going to see that. If they ask the director, has he resumed? He will say no because he didn't see you. A lot of Christians are gambling and hoping that God will not remember. They are gambling and hoping that... Look, listen to me. God has made the rules very simple and very clear. We are the ones that are complicating it. We are complicating. This is not hard. Why is it that right now we cannot even boast of church growth by conversion anymore? Why? What about the area of your kingdom service? What about the area of your waiting upon Lord? Why is it that it is a Christian that is online telling us that it is not by prayer and fast? Why is it a Christian and not an unbeliever? Why is it a Christian that will go online? And I was watching this 2 days ago. A Christian that will go online and be telling the church member, if you are looking for a miracle, this is the wrong place. So we don't do miracle here. Don't do miracle here. Sorry, I know you are trying to be righteous. But does that sound like Jesus? Jesus preached and healed. Yes. You can't be more righteous than Jesus in his work. Jesus even fed people. But Jesus didn't commit himself to them. Because when he was dying, between ascension and of 500 and Pentecost of 120, 380, he ran back. But we are not of them that turn back. Listen, if you are a father, you must take up the responsibility of discipleship over your children. Don't expect anybody to train your children for you. Your job is not to pay school fees. Your job is to prepare them to be usable for the Lord and for society. But if you are not discipled, if you don't, maybe, sir, let's start a project. Let's develop a discipleship manual in this church that we can give to everybody. Because sometimes you want to, ranging from how to share the gospel to when a person becomes a Christian, how to introduce them to the word of God, how the Bible, everything. We will need to create a project team and build. Because if we assume that such material is somewhere, we may be here for long. And please, for those of you that are in the church, if you are gifted in teaching and all, please, you can volunteer for this project. We will need to build something that God can bless and we can export. We will not even copyright it. So if anybody wants to adopt it and take it to different nations and different, let them take it. A lot of people don't know how to be Christians anymore. They don't know how to be Christians. Just because someone has a good voice, it doesn't mean jack. I was listening to a lady on a podcast, an American podcast, and the lady said, look, I'm a chain smoker. I live in sin. I do, like, my parents are Christians. I don't want to be a Christian. Say, but Jesus appeared to her. She was, I think, very sick, and she died or passed out. She found herself in hell. And the person intervening asked her, what is hell like? She said, well, in my own experience, hell is, the flames there are like 2,000 times hotter than our fire here. She said 2,000 times. She said when the fire jumps on your skin, it consumes the flesh. The flesh regrows. It burns it again. You know the pain when, like, you tear flesh off a living human being. Oh, okay, imagine when you have been given injections by a wicked nurse who wants you to suffer pain. You look like her ex, so she wants to punish you for the error of her ex. Do you know what it means to tear flesh off a living person? The woman said that was the experience. She said it was not somewhere she wanted to be. And Jesus told her, anyone who rejects me will come here. Your parents have saved me. This is your opportunity to get right. The woman was talking and was crying throughout the interview, over 1.5 hours. She was crying throughout. She wasn't saying, oh, you know, heaven is real. She was crying. She had given her life to Christ, so, but the reality of what she experienced was so strong that she will cry. They wait for her again. She will cry. She said, so what, are you married now? I said, no, I don't even have interest in all those things again. I don't want to marry. I've wasted my life. I've had enough of men. It's not about marriage again. That now she's trying to piece what is left of her life and give it to Jesus. Listen, I'm not happy to tell you, but there will be a day of reward. Huh? We must all labor. We must all labor. We must all labor. From 2026, all of us in this church, we have a diary. The title of that diary will be Soul Winning. Anybody you win, you put it there. Because if I see you, I can ask you. Huh? I'm not an executive pastor. I'm a pastor. So I will ask you, how many souls have you won? I don't want you to be without reward. Don't just be a slave queen for nothing. You just say, Pastor, people like to come to me. People like to talk to me. It is an occasion for the gospel. It's simple as that. It's not that you are fine. It's an occasion for the gospel. And when you leave that gap open, Satan will now begin to plant dangerous men to derail you, because now you have left a gap for demons. I want you to say, I will not be unfruitful. I want you to say, I will not be unfruitful. In the name of Jesus. I want you to declare, my children will serve the Lord. I want you to declare, my seed will bless the Lord. I want you to declare, my children will be useful in the house of God. Please take your seats. Please go home and think about Brother Uzziah. Because remember, he started well. The race is not to who? The race is not the battle. So, you have it. That means most people will lose steam at the end of the day. If you want to keep your steam, that is why you must be in a church community. So that when you begin to lose steam, someone can say, what's happening to you? You cannot have a revelation that is so high above the body of Christ. You cannot. Somebody said, I was going through this. That is the job of your pastor. That is the job of your church members. God has put these systems in place for our safety. Even as the pastor of this church, I must submit myself to the authority of this church and not place myself above it if I want to last. So I can come up here next week and say, look, guys, I'm tired. I want to rest. Let other people come and preach. And you'll be fine with it. The Lord forbid that the reason why we are gathering in a place like this is because of one man. But the Lord forbid. The Lord forbid. When did we get to that level? But the corruption has been there, which is why I feel that if I hand over this church now to Pastor Tokwe or Pastor Bara, people will not like him because he doesn't prophesy. The people that were prophesying, Jesus sent them to her. So the Lord will bless us. But please go home. Uzziah is your friend this week. Go and read the story. Go to the previous chapter, read through. Take some notes. That's how to learn. Not rema. Not preach it, pastor. You will not learn like that. Some people have been shouting like that. They are still shouting. They are still on the same spot. Shouting. Calm down. No shouting again. Go and pick your note or your notepad on your iPhone and jot down. When you see your friend tomorrow, that your Christian friend that likes sharing rema in the office, tell him, sit down. Have you read the story of Uzziah? You cannot share ref with Uzziah. Because it's a bad story. You cannot share Rema with you. Say, Uzza, there's nothing like that. You'll be doing your hand like there's nothing. It's a story. Let's read it. What do you think? I pray that the Lord will establish us. We will not fall by the wayside. The words we have heard today is for our salvation, and it will preserve us. In Jesus' mighty name.